This week we will be learning Chagiga Daf Yud Tes. We left off on the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Beis at the Tanur Rabbanon, about five lines up from the bottom. Tanur Rabbanon, Hanotel Yadav. If a person is washing his hands with a kli, with a utensil, in order to purify them for a certain purpose, so Niskavin Yadav Tahoros. If he has intention to purify his hands, to the exclusion of simply just rinsing them with no purpose, then yadav tahoros. Then it works. But lo niskavin, if while he's washing his hands, he's not intending to purify his hands for a purpose of being able to eat something in purity, then yadav tameos, it doesn't work. It sounds like kavana, intention, is necessary in order for the washing to work. V'chein ha-mafbil yadav. We said in the Mishnah on the top of Yechess HaMabiz that when it comes to eating chulin, food that doesn't have any extra level of kedusha, one simply needs to wash his hands like we sort of do for bread. Whereas when one wants to eat kodesh, he has to dip his hands in a mikvah, in 40 sa'a of water. So when one is doing that, we have the same rule. Niskavin yad tahoros. When he's dipping his hands in the mikvah, he has to have intention that he plans on eating kodesh, and then that's fine, yad tahoros, it works. But lo niskavin, if he doesn't have the proper intention, Yadav Tameos. Okay, so says the Gemara, Vahatanya, but don't we have a brisa which teaches us, Bein Niskavin, Bein Lo Niskavin, Yadav Tahoros. A brisa which explicitly tells us that intention is irrelevant. So how can we say that you need to have intention in order for the washing to work? It sounds like intention is not necessary. So Amar Rav Nachman, Lo Kasha, Kan Lechulin, Kan Lemaiser. When it comes to chulin, food that doesn't have any special level of kedusha, there, no intention is required when one is washing his hands. Whereas, when one wants to eat maiser or truma, and one needs to wash his hands prior, then he needs to have specific intention when he's washing his hands. Now, the Maariv Chayetz over here points out that when we talk about kavana, we should not get confused with the very well-known sugya of mitzvos trichos kavana. Right, normally we have a rule that when one is doing a mitzvah, he has to have intention that he's performing that mitzvah. And if he doesn't, it could be he's not yotze. Over here, the washing itself is not actually a mitzvah. It's simply a hechsher mitzvah. It's preparing oneself to do something in purity. And therefore, the Maariv Chayetz quotes the Chacham Tzvi in his first siman in his Tshuvos, who writes that in this situation, we're only referring to intention that this washing will make his hands tahor, to the exclusion of simply rinsing his hands just for cleanliness. He has to have in mind that when he washes his hands will now become pure, but we are not referring to intention for any type of mitzvah. So the Gemara wonders, is this really true? The Mishnah had told us that I have to wash my hands before I eat chulin. And now you're telling me, I don't have to have any intention as to what I'm doing when I wash my hands for chulin. How do I know that? What's the source of that? So the Gemara attempts to bring a proof. Ditnan. We have a Mishnah in Mikvos, which says, Galshen nitlashbo ubo arbaim saw. So you have a wave. You're by the ocean, you're at the beach, and a wave comes over you and crashes down on you. And when that wave crashes down on you, in that wave was contained the proper amount of a mikvah, 40 sa'. V'nafal al ha'adam, v'al ha'kelim. You were standing there, and guess what? Conveniently, you had a couple of pots and pans that had never been toveled. Kill two birds with one stone. You went to the mikvah, your kelim went to the mikvah. Says the Gemara, tahorin. The Mishnah says, both the person and the pots and pans are both tahor now. They went to a proper mikvah. So the Gemara makes the following implication. Ktani Adam Dumya Dekelim. It sounds like the person is on the same level or has the same status as the pots. Now, in what sense? Ma Kelim Delo Mechavne. You were not planning on taking your pots that day to the Kelim Mikvah. You happen to have just been holding on to them. So therefore, there was no intention to kasher, to tovel the pots. And yet, that tevila worked. So, af adam dilo machavin. So apparently, you also, when you were at the beach, you were not planning on going to the mikvah that day. And nevertheless, when a wave crashes down on you that contains 40 saw, even without intention, it's able to purify you. So don't you see very clearly that when one is going to the mikvah for chulin, he doesn't need intention for that mikvah, or in our case, for the washing to purify him. This should be a source that when it comes to chulin, one does not need kavana when he's preparing to eat it, whether it be washing his hands or going to the mikvah. Says the Gemara, umemai, how do you know that the case is that you were not planning on going to the mikvah that day, and you just happened to got hit by a wave? Maybe Dilma be Yosheva Mitzapa a Masayid la Shagalaskinan. Maybe we're talking about where everything was closed. You decided, I'm going to the beach and I'm going to go to the mikvah in the water. So you were sitting there at the edge of the sand waiting for the wave to crash down on you. Maybe that's the case. In which case there's no proof. Says the Gemara, and if that were the fact pattern, then you can make the opposite implication. The Kelim Dumya da Adam. In that situation, you would compare the pots and pans to the person. And therefore, you would say, Ma Adam Debar Kavana, just like the person, in order for the wave to actually be a proper tevila, he has to have intention that it should be tovel him. Af Kelim Demechavin Lehu, so too, the only way you can tovel your pots and pans is if you had intention that the wave should act as the Kelim Mikvah. Says the Gemara, V'chitema, B'yoshev Mitzapa Maila Memra. You might ask, if the fact pattern really is you went to the beach that day in order to tovel yourself and tovel your kelim in the mikvah, then what's the chiddush? So the Brisa is teaching us that that works? Great. You intended to go to the mikvah, and you did go to the mikvah. What's the added chiddush that that would be teaching us? Says the Gemara, there actually is a very big chiddush. Because Sakhide Dachamina, I would have thought, Ligzor Dilma Asi Lemitvah Bechardu L'Shal Gishamim. You might have thought that if we allow people to be tovel in waves at the beach, in the ocean, people might come to also be tovel in slopes of accumulated water. Right? You have rainwater that flows down a hill, a mountain, and accumulates into a pool of 40 saw, so people might justify and say, well, what's the difference? I went to the ocean, and a wave crashed down on me, and that worked. So why shouldn't it work when I'm standing in this pool of accumulated rainwater on this slope? Now, why is that not a good tefillah in the Chard L'Shal Gashamim? So Rashi offers two explanations. One possibility is that you can't really be guaranteed that you're going to have 40 saw in one spot, when the rainwater is trickling down, even if it accumulates in pools, but it's not really set in one spot. But then Rashi offers a different interpretation, which is that we have to understand something very basic about a mikvah. A mikvah, the water in a mikvah has to be still. We know water is constantly moving, but it's not running water. It's contained in one location. And there's a rule in halacha that if you have something called zochlin, zochlin means that the water is running. If you have water running for a mikvah, that's a pasul mikvah. And therefore Rashi says that when it comes to chard l'shal gishamim, yes, there might be an accumulation of 40 saw, but at the end of the day, the water is zochlin. It's constantly moving and flowing down the mountain, and while, as we'll see later, that might be kosher for something called a mayan, a natural spring, when it comes to a mikvah, zochlin, water that's flowing, is actually pasul, and therefore, you might have thought that it would be usher to tovel in a wave in the ocean, lest the person come to think he could be tovel in the downward stream of a slope when there's an accumulation of 40 saw, when in fact, that's not permitted, either because you can't guarantee there's really 40 saw there, or because it's a psul of zochlin. Inami, says the Gemara, Nigzor Roshin Atu Kipin. You might have thought that the Chachamim would not allow you to go to the mikvah in the edge of the wave. What we're referring to is when the wave crashes down on you as it reaches the ground. So we're not talking about in midair. We're talking about the very last crash of the wave as it hits the ground, it's hitting you. You might have thought then that one could also go to the mikvah in the mid-air section of a wave. We know, you look, think of a picture of a surfer, right? You have the wave literally coming over you. You can imagine a scenario where one could technically hold up his pot and be tovel in the water mid-air, or he could jump and be tovel in the water mid-air. So if I can be tovel in the wave when it's crashing down on me, why can't I be tovel mid-air? Says the Gemara, kamash malon de lo gazrinon. So therefore, this brisa is really talking about a case where the person went to the ocean with the intention to tovel himself and his kelim. So therefore, it's no proof to the concept that when it comes to chulin, one does not need intention before washing his hands or before going to the mikvah, because this case is a case where one had intention. Well, what's the chiddush if one had intention? The chiddush is one would have thought the chachamim made a gzeira not to go into waves when they crash down on you as a mikvah, lest one come to either go to the mikvah in a stream flowing down the side of a mountain or mid-air in a wave. And therefore, this brisa teaches me that the Rabbana never made such a gzeira. Umina Tamer, says the Gemara, Zuldman Liam Bekifin. How do I know that you can't be Tovel in mid-air of a wave? Titania, as the Brisa says, Matbilin Birushin, Vimatbilin Bekipin, that one can be Tovel at the very edge of the wave, when the wave crashes down on you as it hits the ground, but one cannot be Tovel in the mid-air point of a wave. Why? Levisha ein Matbilin Ba'avir. Because one can't Tovel in mid-air. Rashi says, Shalom Amr Torah Mikvah Shal Avir Litvila. When we think of a mikvah, we think of a body of water that has a base. It's connected to the ground in some way, shape, or form. The Torah never entertained the possibility of going to the mikvah in midair, and therefore, it would not be a kosher mikvah. Interestingly, the Rambam over here, at the end of Hilchos Mikvos, says the reason why one cannot be tovel in a wave in the air before it falls down is for the same reason we said earlier why you can't be tovel in the chardalis, is that at that point the wave is considered zochlin. It's moving water. Once the wave hits the ground, so maybe that's considered stationary. But in midair, it's considered zochlin. So the Kesef Mishnah, which is the Beis Yosef, Yosef Cairo, commentary on the Rambam, he asks on the Rambam that the Rambam paskins that an ocean is actually not a mikvah, it's rather a mayan, it's a natural spring. Now, we said earlier that when it comes to the halachas of a mayan, it's very different than the halachas of a mikvah. When it comes to a mikvah, there's a psul of zochlin, the water can't be running. However, when it comes to mayan, a natural spring, zochlin is actually mutter. And therefore, the Kesef Mishnah asks, why did the Rambam Pasul say that one cannot be Tovel in the mid-air point, in the mid-air of a wave, because of Zochlin? But if the ocean is a Mayan, then Zochlin is actually kosher by an ocean. So the Kesef Mishnah answers, actually his answer is found in the Beis Yosef, in Hilchos Mikvaos. He says that it must be that the Rambam felt that it's true, Zochlin is kosher in the ocean, but it's a gzeira derabanan that if we allow tevila in such a wave, one will come to be tovel in rainwater, which is zochlin but not kosher. Meaning a person won't be able to differentiate and say, well, the ocean is a mayan, and therefore I'm allowed to be tovel in running water, but yet when I go back home and my mikvah is also flowing, what's the difference? Without realizing that zochlin is actually a psul by a mikvah. Now this really gets into a very fundamental question raised by the Rishonim and Achronim, which is that when it comes to a mayan, a natural spring, so it's different than a mikvah, and the question is, we know 100% that when it comes to a mikvah, the required shear of a mikvah is 40 sa'a. What about a mayan? Does one need 40 sa'a for a mayan? Or once you're dealing with a natural spring, there's no such requirement. So the Torah in Simon Reish Aleph in Hilchos Mikvos, he quotes Machlokas about this, but the Torah Sabayis brings a proof from our Gemara, since the Gemara over here says, Gal shenitlash bo arba'im sa'a, a wave of the ocean, which the Rambam tells us is a mayan, and the Brisa says, the Mishnah says in Mikvos, it had 40 sa'a. So if a mayan did not require 40 sa'a, and the ocean is a mayan, then why would the Mishnah tell us that it had 40 saw? It shouldn't need to have 40 saw. It must be that a mayan does not need to have 40 saw. Or rather, that a mayan does need to have 40 saw. Our Gemara would prove that a mayan does need to have 40 saw in the fact that the Braisa said arbaim saw. However, the Taz deflects this proof. As he says, the reason why the Mishnah says 40 saw by the ocean is not because a mayan needs 40 saw, but rather because you still need to be completely enveloped in the wave. And we said earlier in the Masechta, and we know logically, that the Chachamim, when they established the shear of 40 saw, they established it because that's the amount of water that generally fits around a person's body. And so it's true. Perhaps a ma'ayon does not require 40 saw, but you also need to be completely enveloped in the water, and it could be the only way to do that is to be in 40 saw. Very interesting. Rav Yashiv notes that the Vilna Gaon, and that same Siman in Shulchan Aruch, he notes that there are really two differences between a mikvah and a mayan. Number one, 40 saw. A mikvah needs 40 saw, a mayan doesn't. And number two, zochlin, flowing water. Flowing water is pustle in a mikvah, but kosher in a mayan. And the Rivash says that really both those exceptions or differences between a mayan and a mikvah are for the same reason. Meaning what? That which a mikvah cannot have zochlin, cannot have flowing water, is because if water's flowing, then we don't view every drop of water as being connected to each other. Only when the water is in one place. And if we don't view every drop as being connected to each other, then you won't have 40 saw in one place. And therefore, a mikvah, the reason why zochlin is pasul, is because there's a required shear of 40 saw. And if the water was flowing, you would never have the required shear because we would view each drop as being disconnected from one another. But by a ma'ayan, by a spring, since you don't need 40 saw, that's why zochlin is mutter. And based on this, therefore, by the ocean's wave, since zochlin is mutter, that's why you don't actually need 40 saw. But remember, you do need the water to really envelop your body. So that's a very interesting discussion about mayan, about mikvah, and certain halachas related thereto. So the Gemara rejected this attempted proof at how we know that chulin does not require kavana. The Gemara attempts a second proof. Ella mehaditznan. You were waiting in the river or the ocean, and you were holding fruits. And all of a sudden, the fruits fall into this channel of water. And now you go, you dip your hands in the water to retrieve the fruit. So, if your hands were tame, and you dipped your hands in the water to retrieve them, magic, your hands are actually pure now because you dipped them in a kosher mikvah. Uperos einan b'chiyutan, and the peros are not machshir l'kabel tuma. So the rule here, what are the concepts of b'chiyutan? So we know the rule is that a food, in order to become tame, has to become machshir l'kabel tuma. It has to become susceptible to tuma through first getting wet. So the rule of chiyutan is that there's a pasuk in the Torah which says v'chiyutan mayim al zera, that when the water has been placed on certain seeds. However, the word yutan is written without a vav, just like the word yitin. And therefore, according to our Mesorah, what we learn from that is that we only consider a fruit to have been made susceptible to tuma through coming into contact with a liquid if that liquid was yitin, was placed or landed on that fruit or that food with the intention of the owner. Or the owner desired that to take place. But if it happened by accident, if someone shot him with a water gun, and it happened to get on his fruit, and he didn't want it to get on his fruit, then it would not actually make the fruit machshir l'kabel tuma. So what the Gemara is saying over here is, you accidentally drop your fruit in water. You didn't want the fruit to get wet. And therefore, when you pull out your hands, yes, your hands become tahor, but the fruit are not yet susceptible to tuma, even though they're wet, because it became wet without the desire of the owner. But if you put your hands into the water with the intention of washing your hands,
Then yada tehoros, your hands are tahor. V'apiros harein b'chiyutan. So we have to break this brisa down into two parts. The first part is really the proof, because what did the first part say? You drop the fruit in the water, you reach your hand into the water to pick up the fruit, and voila! If your hands are tameh, you all of a sudden have tahor hands. Wait a minute, but I didn't intend to be tovel my hands in the water. Oh, there's the proof. The proof is that when I'm toveling my hands for chulin, I don't actually need kavana. But we also have to figure out the pshat in the second part of that braisa, which said that if I'm actually intending to dip my hands in the water to purify them, then my hands are tahor and the fruit are considered susceptible to tumah. Now that last part's confusing. Why in the world, if I accidentally drop my fruits into the water, and now I happen to want to dip my hands also in the water to purify them, why did the fruit become mashal lekabel tumah? At the end of the day, I didn't desire to drop my fruit in the water. So Rashi says that since you're having kavana to wash your hands, it must be you're showing, you're revealing that your intention is, you're happy with the fact that the piros fell in. Meaning, great, now I have an excuse to dip my hands in the water. As through them falling, you were then able to wash your hands. However, the Rashash says this is really hard to understand. The Turi Evan also asked that. Just because you wanted to wash your hands, why does that mean you're happy your fruit fell in? You could have washed your hands in a sink without the pears falling in. So the Rashash says, the pshat is, that since you wanted to wash your hands in the water, it's machshiv the water. It makes the water chashiv, and now that water becomes water you desire. However, the Turi Evan didn't really like that pshat either. The Sfas Emes offers what seems to be perhaps the most logical explanation. He says, we're not saying that the water in the river is what makes the fruit susceptible to tumah. It's the water on your hands. Meaning, when you pull that fruit out of the river, your hands are still wet. The water on your hands, you do desire, because you wanted to wash your hands. And therefore, it could be that water is considered b'chiyutan. And now, when your wet hands touch the fruit after you've brought them out, that's actually what makes the fruit susceptible to tumah. But either way, the proof from this braisa is from the fact that when I accidentally drop my fruit in a body of water, I reach to pick them up, and all of a sudden my tumah hands are tahor. That shows that even when I don't have intention to purify my hands for chulin, nevertheless, it works. However, the Gemara questions this. Esve Rabba l'Rab Nachman, hatova l'chulin, v'hoksuk l'chulin, osur l'maiser. We said in the Mishnah, on the top of Yerchesim Abiz, that when one puts his hands in a mikvah, specifically with the intention of eating chulin, so he's established that now he can eat chulin with those hands. However, he cannot eat maiser with those hands. So the Gemara implies, huchsuk in, lo huchsuk lo. It sounds like if I want to eat chulin, I have to be tovel my hands with the intention of eating chulin. But if I didn't, it wouldn't work. So doesn't that show that I need to have intention when I'm washing my hands, even for chulin? Says the Gemara, no. Hachi kamar. What the Mishnah means is, afal pish hosel lechulin, osur lemaiser. Even though I washed my hands with a pure intention to eat chulin, it doesn't mean that if I needed to have that intention, because I didn't. It just means that the chiddush is, but I cannot eat maiser now, since I locked in my intention and I limited it to only chulin. Okay, we'll bring up another question. Isve, tava v'lo huchsa ki lo tava. We said in the Mishnah that if one washes his hands and has no intention when he's doing it, simply he's rinsing his hands, it's as if he didn't wash his hands, meaning he can't eat anything without rewashing it. So my love, ki lo tava klal. So that would be a big question. Doesn't the Mishnah mean it's as if you didn't do anything, you have to rewash your hands? And that would be true even for chulin. So wouldn't that show that I need to have intention when I'm washing for chulin? Says the Gemara, lo, ki lo tava lemaiser. No, it means that if I had no intention, it's as if I didn't wash my hands for maiser. Aval tava lechulin. Even without intention, it would still be good enough, the simple rinsing. Even without a specific intention to eat chulin, I would still be able to eat chulin after that. Why? Because we see that chulin lo bai kavana. Hu savar dachi kamadchile. So we initially thought, Rav Nachman thought, that this was just sort of a push-off. It's not really what the Mishnah means. You're just pushing me away. However, Nafak Duk V'yashkach, he found that there's actually a braisa that says it explicitly. Titanya, Tavav lo huchzak, if one washed his hands but had no intention, Asher lo meiser, he cannot then eat meiser. However, Umutra lo chulin, so you see from here that chulin does not require kavana. Okay, Amr Belazar, Tavav V'yala, a new statement that if a person went to the mikvah and he, let's say, didn't have any intention, or he had intention for chulin, and now he gets out of the mikvah, he can change the intention after the fact. So let's say he went to the mikvah thinking, I'm going to eat chulin. When he gets out, he can actually say, you know what, I changed my mind. Now I want to eat meiser. So the Gemara says, meisvei. We have a question on this. Because odehu raglov, raglo achas b'mayim. Let's say a person went to the mikvah. He's leaving the mikvah, but he still has one foot in. Hochsuk l'davar kal, machzik asm l'davar chamor. If he had intention, let's say, when he went into the mikvah, that he's going to eat chulin, since he still has one leg in, he can change and decide, well, actually, I want to eat meiser. And that's okay. However, Allah, once he left the mikvah completely, shuv eno machzik. Now he can't change any of the intention. So my love, eno machzik klal. Doesn't that mean he can't change intention no matter what? Which would be a question on Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar said, even when I leave the mikvah, I could change the intention of what I want to do with the tefillah. But here it seems to be we're saying that once you leave the mikvah, once you have no more feet in, you can't change it at all. Says the Gemara, that's not what this braisa meant. Lo, odehu, if you're still one foot in, what we mean is afal bi shehuchsuk machzik. Even though you already had an intention, let's say you said, I want to eat chulin, so you kind of lock yourself in. Nevertheless, I can change and unlock and provide a new intention. However, Allah, once I'm completely out, then it depends. Im lo huchsuk, if I never locked myself in, I was just spacing out, then machzik, then I can state an intention. Im huchsuk, the chiddush is that if I left the mikvah and I already had locked myself into one specific intention, then eino machzik. Then I can't change it because I'm out of the mikvah and I locked myself in. But that doesn't contradict Rabbi Lazar, who said that if I go to the mikvah and I was just spacing out, then when I come out, I actually can lock in a specific intention. Essentially what we're saying is that it's easier to start something than to change an intention once I already had locked it in. So the Gemara says, Man Tana Odeu Raglachas B'mayim. Who's the author, or who's the Manda Omar who says that if one still has one foot in the mikvah, now all of a sudden he's considered to still be in the mikvah and he can change his intention? That's Omar Rabudas, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabudas says, it's Rabbi Yehuda, Titnan, because we have a Mishnah Mikvos, which says the following, Mikvah Shinim Dad B'neish Arba'im Sa'a. They measured the mikvah and found that it had exactly 40 saw, mechavanos, exact. The yardu shnayim, v'tavlu zachar zeh. You had two men, go to the mikvah back to back. So what's the halacha? Says the Gemara, harishon tahar, v'yashini tameh. The first guy that goes into the mikvah, he's tahar, because he went into a mikvah with 40 saw. However, you can imagine, when you come out of a mikvah, you carry with you some of the wetness, some of the water on your body. And if they measured exactly 40 saw, then man one, when he left the mikvah, he just decreased the shear of the mikvah to below 40 saw. And now when guy two goes in, he's tameh because he didn't go to the mikvah in a mikvah with the requisite shear. However, Amar Rav Yehuda, says the Gemara, im hayu raglav shel rishon nagas b'mayim, if the first guy didn't completely leave the mikvah, he still has one foot in. When the second guy goes in, af hasheni tahor. Then even the second person is tahor. And as we're going to see in a second, this is based on the concept of good achis. Good achis means that sometimes you could have water which is connected to other water. And even though it's not in the lower body of water, we view the water that's on a high point as if it's already in the low point. So in this example, guy one is standing with one foot left in the mikvah, and he has moisture on his chest, on his arms, on his head. because we apply the concept of good achis, we view all that water as, halachically speaking, being back in the mikvah. It goes, travels downward, halachically, and therefore we view the mikvah as being a 40 sa'a mikvah, even though physically, practically, realistically, there is not 40 sa'a, but because of good achis, we view the entire mikvah as being connected to his body, and we view it as being 40 sa'a. So Rav Nachman Amar Rav Avua, machlokes b'maylos d'rabbanon. This machlokes is really, this Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon, about whether the tefillah works when you have one foot in or not. This is only about when you're going to the mikvah because of a maila. Meaning, it's not really a dindo rice, you have to go to the mikvah. You're going to the mikvah to prepare yourself for an elevated status, let's say, of Kodesh. That's when Rabbi Yehuda would say that, you know what, one foot in, that does the trick. Because of good achis. However, aval mitomo tahara, divrei kol afasheni tame. Rabbi Yehuda would say, if you're dealing with tumado raisa, he's not going to apply the concept of good achis, that we view the water on your head and your chest and your arms as if it's back in the mikvah. No, when the stakes are very high, when it's a dindo raisa, it could be even Rabbi Yehuda would say that one is not the second person who goes into the mikvah, he's going into a mikvah that's not a kosher mikvah. It doesn't have the requisite shear. V'hainu d'Rav Padas. And therefore, when Rav Padas earlier established that the one who says one leg in is okay is Rav Yehuda, that's what he meant. Meaning, it's a machlokes. When it comes to Miles the Rabbanon, between Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanon, and Rav Padas said that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that when it comes to Milas Derabanan, one leg in, we can apply the concept of good achis. Ikeda Amri, the Gemara says, an alternative version, Amr of Nachman, Amr of Ua. No, the opposite. Machlokes betumala tahara. The machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan about whether or not we could apply good achis when the second guy is going in and the first guy has one leg in, that's specifically when it comes to the Dirabon, the Doraisas, of a Miles Dirabonon, Divra Kol Afashini Tahor. Even the Rabbanon would agree to Rabbi Yehuda that one leg in is fine. Even the Rabbanon would agree to Rabbi Yehuda that we can apply good achis, but Miles Dirabonon, Upli Gedra Padas. But Rav Nachman over here, that has this Ikeda Amri, that is actually what argued Rav Padas. Because Rav Padas said that, oh, this one leg in by Miles Derabanan is only Rabbi Yehuda. So it's not true according to Rav Nachman. According to Rav Nachman, by Miles Derabanan, even the Rabbanan agree that one leg works, and therefore this statement of Rav Nachman would be against Rav Padas, who seemed to establish it only within the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So Amra Ula says, Boy mi name Rav Nachman, may Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Yehuda, "Mahu lahatbil mechitim v'tzinorios b'rosho shel rishon." So, once we talked about the concept of good achis, there's also a concept of good asik. The same way we can halakhically view the water that's on your chest or your head as halakhically moving downward and being connected with a lower body, you could understand that there could be a concept the opposite way called good asik, going up, which would mean that let's say you have a guy, he has on his head, he has a needle, or he has some other type of instrument, small utensils that resemble a fork that Rashi says are used to spin gold. So let's say he has that on his head, and he goes to the mikvah. But that part of his body is out of the mikvah. So you tell me, oh, he's not in the, these utensils can't become tahor, they're not in the mikvah. Wait a second. If we apply good usik, going the opposite way, maybe the fact that he has some water on his head, and the water is water in the mikvah, maybe we view the water in the mikvah as rising up, and therefore, halakhically, maybe it's like there's 40 saw on his head. So the Gemara has a question like that. Do we say, good achis is le Rabbi Yehuda, good asik le isle? Maybe Rabbi Yehuda only applies this concept by going down, by good achis, where we want to use the upper water to make the lower water kosher. As in the case of the first guy who stepped out, still had one leg in and was wet on top, and we used his water on his head, let's say, to make the water down below kosher. But good asik leisle. Rabbi Yehuda, maybe he doesn't hold that you could do that in the reverse, that you could use water below to establish kosher water up top. Odilma, good asik namiesle. Or maybe Rabbi Yehuda applies the concept both ways, that you could create these kosher mikvahs, whether it be going from high to low or low to high. So we want to try to bring a proof whether Rabbi Yehuda also applies the concept of good asik and not only good achis. So Amar Leih Tani Suah. Let's bring a proof from a Raisa. Shalosh Gamios Benachal Ha'elyona V'atachtona V'amtzios. So let's say you have a river that's flowing down the side of a mountain, and it forms three pools. An upper pool, a middle pool, and a lower pool. Now, says the Gemara, Ha'elyona V'atachtona Shel Esrim Saw. The upper and lower pools on the side of this mountain are each 20 Saw, and the middle pool is 40 saw. That's the only one with really the requisite shear of a kosher mikvah. The chardlu shal gesham milvars binayin, and you have a flowing rainwater that's actually connecting all three of the pools. So the question is, if you're not going to go in the middle one, what's the best of the top and the bottom? Which one should one go to the mikvah in? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Meir Haya Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says that Meir told me. Or Meir says, Matvil Be'el Yonah, go to the mikvah in the upper one. Now interesting, the upper one only has 20 saw. So that statement would seem to imply that Meir is saying that we apply the concept of good usik, that we're using that middle pool to, as if we're making it go upwards and kashering the upper pool. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, Meir Haya Omer, Matvil Be'el Yonah. The way Rabbi Yehuda had the version was that Meir said, go to the mikvah in the upper one, right? So that would seem to be imply that Rabbi Yehuda holds that we apply the concept of good achis, of good asik. However, v'ani omer b'tachtonav lo bel yonah. According to another version, Rabbi Yehuda was just quoting Meir, but Rabbi Yehuda himself said one should go to the lower mikvah, not the upper mikvah. If you're going to the lower mikvah specifically, it's probably because Rabbi Yehuda only holds the concept of good achis, that we only view the upper water, the middle pool, let's say, as being able to flow down and kasher the lower water. But we would not allow the concept of good asik, that this halachic status of the mikvah to go upwards. So initially, we posed the brisa, which seemed to be Rabbi Yehuda held. We do apply the concept of good asik because he told you to use the upper pool. But then in the next brisa, he argues on Meir and says you should use the lower pool, which implies that we only apply the concept of good achis. And the Gemara answers, Amar Leih, Itanya Tanya. Okay, fine. If you have a brisa which changes the girsa, which Rabbi Yehuda argues, then I guess that's the authoritative brisa. So lemaskana, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda only holds of the concept of good achis. You have to use the lower pool, because we only allow water to kasher downwards. We don't allow it to kasher upwards. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, Tova lechulin, hosik lechulin. We said that if one tovels for chulin, he can only eat chulin. Mani masnisin, who is the author of this Mishnah? Rabbanan hi, deshani lehu bin chulin lemaiser. The Rabbanan argue under a Meir, and they hold that chulin and maiser are different categories. And therefore, when one goes tovels his hands, or washes his hands only for chulin, he may not eat maiser because it's a second category. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Ema seifa. Look at the end of the Mishnah, on the top of Yudches on the Beis, which says, Bigdi ama aretz, midras leperushin. We said that if you're an ama aretz, that the clothing of ama aretz is considered tummy medras for prushin, for people who eat chulin al taras hakodesh. Bigdi prushin. And those who eat chulin atas hakodesh, again, we're talking about just chulin, are midras la'ochle truma, are tamek those who eat truma. So, that's interesting. We skipped a category. In terms of levels, when you go up in Kedusha, it goes chulin, then maiser, then truma, then kodesh. So over here, it skipped. It went from chulin to truma. Says the Gemara, that was asan l'remeir. The Seifa must be going according to a Meir, who says that Chulin and Meiser are in the same category. And that must be why we skip from Chulin to Meiser. Chulin to Truma. So, Risha Rabbanon, the Seifa of Meir? That's confusing. You're telling me the Risha of our Mishnah goes like the opinion of the Rabbanon that puts Chulin and Meiser in two separate categories. And yet the Seifa goes like a Meir that puts them in the same category? The Gemara answers, yes. In Risha Rabbanon, the Seifa of Meir. That's one answer. Ravacha bar Ada, Masnila, b'sifa chamish mailos umukila kula kerabanan. Right? He says, no, he adds a category, meaning our Mishnah was missing a line. And what line was it missing? It was missing the line that someone who eats chulat ataras hakodesh makes those who eat maiser tameh. So actually, in the Seifa also, it included a separate category from Meiser in a new Girsa, not the Girsa we have, but a new Girsa, in which case the entire Mishnah can be like the opinion of the Rabbanan, who hold that Chulin and Meiser are separate categories. Okay, we'll stop there.